Blog Talk Radio.
Edition Culture Shock Entertainment Report. Thank you for joining me. Happy Friday, happy weekend, and most importantly, happy Veterans Day weekend. Patriotic holiday, yay! Happy Veterans Day weekend. Celebrations the entire weekend in different places, huh? Here in Jackson, Mississippi, and all around the country and world, too. Thank you. Today is the day we talk sports and other news also. What's going on? I must have missed this Sunday, and then with the election and everything going on, my inbox filled last evening with stories regarding Terry Bradshaw, one of my favorites, and Reggie Bush, you all know one of my favorites, my play brother. regarding a comment that Terry Bradshaw had to apologize for. What's up with that, huh? I honestly don't believe it was intended to be racial. I hadn't even heard it or seen the comment. I mean, I heard it, the comment was about Reggie run like he's running after a box of chicken. And you all think about it. Terry, I guess I need to hear it or hear it and see the video. But look at Terry. He's lost a lot of weight. And I don't know. I'll be quiet until I see the video. But he apologized. I said my inbox. I had not heard of it. I watch football on Sunday, but I had not heard that comment. And so I guess the story really broke after the election died out. And I'm like, wow, what really happened? I hope and pray it wasn't intended to be racial. I don't think so. But I need to see the video. But he apologized for the comment. But you know, they're quick talking sports talk, and wow. I don't know, but there's so much sports news going on. What's going on with Coach Payton, you know, free agent coach, going to remain with the Saints. Last Friday we were talking about coaches whose jobs were in jeopardy. I've shared stories straight out of Big D where Coach Jason Garrett had heard of the rumors early Sunday, before Sunday's game against the Falcons. You know, so, wow. Well, here's David J. School. Happy birthday. Today's your birthday.
Yeah. It's David J. Check it. Yo.
friends in Big D with Four in the Foundry. What's up, Scott Laurie? And Crazy J from my attorney. crazy. Oh, my God. Hey, today is your birthday. You're celebrating your birthday with the handsome actor Eric Dane of Grey's Anatomy. He turns 40. And also Whitey Herzog, Hall of Fame baseball manager, 81. Bob Gibson, baseball Hall of Famer, 77. Bob Graham, former U.S. Senator, Democrat, Florida, 76. Robert David Hall, actor, CSI, 64. Lou Ferrigno, oh my God, I love me some Lou Ferrigno, actor, The Incredible Hulk, he's 61. Sherrod Brown, U.S. Senator of Ohio, Democrat, is 43. And also actress Nikki Blonsky of Hairspray, she's only 24 today. Wow. Only 24. Shout out to my friends in the chat room and also listening worldwide. Big shout out to my niece who is on vacation in the UK and posting some awesome pictures of her visit to London, England, and other European cities. And just shout out to everyone, because much love, because we're talking sports and other news. And again, I was late. I had not heard of the Terry Bradshaw comment until last evening, when my inbox was filled with stories regarding that. You all know I've been caught up in the Coach Payton being a free agent. Will he stay with New Orleans? Will he go to Dallas? Other teams want him also. So it's like, man. So I know I mentioned that earlier, and there's other sports news to talk about, but we'll be talking about that. But back to today in history. On this day in 1989, communist East Germany threw open its borders, allowing citizens to travel freely to the West. Joyous Germans danced atop the Berlin Wall. I know they did. And also, in 1935, United Mine Workers President John L. Lewis and other labor leaders formed the Committee for Industrial Organization. And also, in 1970, former French President Charles de Gaulle died at age 79. And in 76, on this date, the United Nations General Assembly approved 10 resolutions condemning apartheid in South Africa. Oh, man, that's something. And then in 2001, Houston Astros pitcher Roger Clemens won his record 7th Cy Young Award. And also in, 2005, three suicide bombers carried out nearly simultaneous attacks on three U.S.-based hotels in Ammon, Jordan, killing 60 victims and wounding hundreds. And, oh, my God, 2011, Penn State fired longtime head football coach Joe Paterno and University President Graham Spanier over their handling of child sex abuse allegations against former assistant coach Jared Sandusky. And a big shout out to Lewis Howe, founder of Sports Executive Association and Sports Networker. Thank you for the awesome webinar last night with special guest Bob Green. That was an awesome webinar. So much fun. Really, a lot of fun. And so I'm really, really multitasking like crazy. Reg Roughneck is on the line also. You know, he celebrated his birthday this past Wednesday. But here's a new one by Six String Woody, Foreclosed.
Hey! Close. another case of a broken heart exposed, of a love foreclosed. Put the sign up, it's over. Come on. Ain't nobody home. That's what the sign says. No access tonight. No home. Nothing hurts as much as a love for clothes. Solitary tale of a broken heart exposed. Nothing hurts a man like love. Thank you. another. Just another case of
foreclosed. Man, South Carolina, stand up. That man know he can sing those blues, rock and roll blues. He is, I mean, I just love it. I cannot wait till he comes onto the show. Remember, tomorrow night, True God Immortal will be returning, so we're super excited about that. I'm reading a story from NFL.com. It's about my friend Mickey Loomis and Coach Sean Payton, and y'all stop spreading those rumors. Sean Payton expected to coach the Saints. That's what they're saying. New Orleans Saints general manager Mickey Loomis got back to work on Tuesday with plenty on his plate after finishing his 8-game suspension from the NFL, starting with handling the contract of his coach, Sean Payton. There are a number of ways Payton could go. Loomis expects Payton to stay where he is. I absolutely expect Sean to be our coach next year and going forward. Loomis told reporters, these contract issues will be resolved. It won't be simple. NFL.com and NFL Network's Albert Breer wrote that Payton has serious reservations about the succession plan in New Orleans if Saints owner Tom Benson steps down. ProFootballTalk.com reported that Payton wanted to make sure Loomis stayed in the organization with him as a buffer between himself and owner executive vice president Rita Benson LeBlanc, Benson's granddaughter and presumed successor. Mike Triplett of the Times-Picayune reports that Saints are waiting for written permission from the NFL in order to negotiate Payton's contract again. Even though multiple reports indicate the team has permission to negotiate a contract during the coach's suspension. You know, because all week and all weekend, you know, it had been talked. I know early Sunday I heard about his contract was void. He's a free agent. Then Sunday night I hear talk that, hey, his possibility is returning to the Cowboys. And then DallasBlack.com reported earlier this week also that Jason Garrett was aware of those rumors also. Okay, then it goes on to say the entire situation potentially is an ugly one for Payton and the Saints. That's why we're surprised it came to light during the season. Loomis might be confident that Payton would be back in New Orleans, but the story wouldn't have come out if it was a certainty. The contract would have been settled by now. And so Greg Rosenthal authored this article at NFL.com, and, you know, you can tweet him. You all want to really, you know, tweet him at Greg, G-R-E-G-G, Rosenthal, O-R-O-S-E-N-T-H-A-L. Just wanted to share that with you all. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about the Reggie Bush and the Terry Bradshaw situation. But there's a lot of hot, awesome local news. I know many of you all like Mississippi news, too. So those of you that are networking with me online on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, I'm doing my best to provide you with what's going on, too, with Mississippi sports, student athletic sports also. And, hey, right when I was coming on air, Skylar Lane, remember her from American Idol? She was being interviewed by Megan West Allen on 16. You know she's from Brandon, and Brandon is right on the outskirts of Jackson. So some of you might want to know that news. And she's still writing and writing songs galore and shopping for a record deal. And she loves it here. And if she would move anywhere, she would move to Nashville. You know, so let's just keep praying for her because she is definitely an awesome, awesome talent. And speaking of talent, the voice, it was rocking last night. I love it. So going to go to a PSA, and we still got to talk a little bit about the what we've been talking about pretty much this whole football season, and that's profiling NFL coaches, and we do have Reg Ruffneck also online.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field, staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date, wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
This is Janice Nolan with the American Lung Association. I am Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy, and I'm here to talk about our report, State of the Air. In State of the Air, we look at the impacts of two of the most widespread air pollutants in the country, ozone and particle pollution. Ozone is a molecule of three oxygen atoms. It's the most widespread air pollutant that there is in the nation. Ozone isn't emitted directly, but it comes when we burn fossil fuels and produce things like volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxides. Both of those, when they get into the atmosphere and in the presence of sunlight and heat, react chemically in the atmosphere to create ozone. So ozone often shows up at its highest place, far away from where the raw ingredients are made. Ozone irritates your lungs, leaving them with something like a bad sunburn. It can cause health problems the day you breathe it in, or even days afterwards. Particle pollution is a different chemical altogether. In fact, particle pollution is a mixture of mixtures. It is a noxious mix of microscopic bits of soot and ash, exhaust, chemicals, metals, and aerosols. Particles are the most dangerous and deadly of the outdoor air pollutants that are widespread in America. Particles that we're looking at are so tiny they're impossible to see. We compare them to the diameter of a human hair. The diameter of a human hair is 70 microns. The particles we're talking about are no bigger than 1/7 the diameter of your hair. And the smallest ones we're looking at are actually no bigger than 1/30 the diameter of the human hair. Particle levels can spike dangerously for hours to weeks on end, or reach high levels day in and day out for most of the year. We look at these in both ways because the impacts, either for high spikes or for lower levels at day in and day out, can be very deadly. The science is clear. Particle pollution can kill. Breathing it can lead to heart attacks, asthma attacks, and strokes, and it can affect how your children's lungs grow and develop. Particle pollution may be even more deadly than we previously thought. Recently, California experts tripled their estimate of the number of people that particle pollution kills each year in California. And that number is roughly 18,000, the equivalent of a small city.
Man, drop that shit for these fuck niggas. Man, drop that shit.
Oh,
love to play that song. That's a hype song. All I do is win. Hey, tomorrow will be a Veterans Day parade. Downtown Jackson, at State Street and in Mid Street. Just wanted to let those of you that are visiting the city or just didn't know and love parades like I do, the parade will start at 10 a.m. Tomorrow. And also there's a parade at the North Park Mall in Ridgeland, because guess who is in town? One of my favorite guys, and I know he's many of your favorite guys. Also, Santa Claus is in town. And the Christmas parade will be at North Park tomorrow. So he's ahead of schedule, I guess. Hey, he's like everybody else. Isn't that something? Walmart and Sears, but we don't have a Sears anymore here in Jackson, but Walmart and Sears will be opening at 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. Forget of Black Friday. They're talking about a Thursday night dinner. Oh, my God. Jimmy Kimmel talked about that last night. Hey, I'm checking out Black Athlete Sports Network, who one of the sources of the emails that I received regarding the Bush-Bradshaw situation. And this is written by Eric Graham, and it states, Bush, Bradshaw, and a bucket of chicken. And they said, the more you talk, the stupider they sound. Somebody from North Carolina said that. So this story is really relevant, but we have to address the issue. We simply can't overlook it, sweep it under the rug, and pretend it didn't happen. Then there's a picture of Reggie. He's better running from linebackers and cornerbacks than chasing chickens. Oh, was it a Freudian slip or just poorly timed joke? Regardless of the matter, it is yet and still another chicken clucking stupid story. I mean, didn't we get enough of those chicken jokes from way back when Tiger Woods was doing his thing? The guy made the joke about Tiger Woods and chicken. I mean, my goodness. But I love Terry Bradshaw and I love Ridge, so I hope everything is pretty much cleared up. Was it a fruit and slip or just a poorly timed joke? Regardless of the matter, it is yet and still another chicken clucking stupid story. Yes, there is another chicken story frying in a hot pan of grease this week, like a scene from The Help, in order to clog up the airways as well as our hearts and minds. First, there was R&B singer Mary J. Blige. I hope this is an old story then. But it was all in my inbox, and I don't remember seeing it. Maybe this is old news. I'm hoping it is, but it was all in my, because I would love to make a mistake and reread an old story. First, there was R&B singer Mary J. Blige's Burger King chicken commercial. Then there was a controversy surrounding Chick-fil-A. Now Fox Sports' Terry Bradshaw is trying to get the feathers out of his mouth with his comments that Reggie Bush was running fast because he was chasing a bucket of chicken. And then they would say, damn it, Terry Bradshaw. And then they're showing a picture of a Family Guy getting punched by a big chicken. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube once it's on the toothbrush. And then it reads, Bradshaw, Jethro Bodine, and Honey Boo Boo. This is obviously a case of bad timing and a poor joke by Bradshaw, who is the resident Jethro Bodine on the show. This and the fake gives him, and you know those guys, they just choke like a bunch of guys watching at a game together. And this and the fake gives him a license to a certain degree to say stupid things and act as if he is some uneducated redneck Honey Boo Boo child. So while the bucket of chicken reference promoted a stereotypical images of black people running after some chicken, Bradshaw himself plays a stereotypical Southern country hillbilly huster on NFL Fox, pretends he can barely read. But as stupid as Bradshaw pretends to be, he definitely is not that dumb, especially to say something that stupid and bigoted on national television. Or is he? What's even more shocking, I'm shocked and I missed it. What's even more shocking than Bradshaw's blatant racist Honey Boo Boo Child chicken comment is the silence of host Kurt McNaffy, who should have addressed the issue as soon as it slipped out of his mouth. During Sunday's NFL on Fox Studio segment, analyst Michael Strahan, however, seemed to understand Bradshaw's racially charged chicken comment and even suggested it had better been directed to Johnson and not him when he nonchalantly said, I'm glad you're talking about Jimmy, not me. The apology, as a result, due to his poor choice of words, ex-Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Terry Bradshaw finds himself apologizing as if he was Don Imus, which I don't think he is. I'm so sorry for hurting anybody, and I'm shocked I'm in this position, Bradshaw told the USA Today. Bradshaw went to say that the comments were just part of a long-running joke on the set about co-studio analyst Jimmy Johnson's love for Kentucky Fried Chicken, which he refuses to share with anybody. Johnson confirmed this via tweet. For all those chicken comments, TB kids me about how much I love chicken. He was referring to me. I eat 4 pieces of fried chicken every Sunday on our set. Only problem now is my wife knows, though I'm in trouble. Was Johnson's tweet designed to protect Bradshaw's bigotry, or was he telling the truth? Honestly, if you listen to the tape, it was obvious that Bradshaw was talking about Jimmy Johnson, regardless of how inflammatory it sounds. Here is Bradshaw's actual quote. Look at this, Jimmy. Like he was chasing that buck in the chicken that the wind was blowing the other night. Lessons on language. Whether Bradshaw was talking about Jimmy Johnson or Reggie Bush, it still was a stupid thing to say. Bradshaw himself admitted, after learning about the controversy surrounding his Bush bucket of chicken comment, that his first reaction was that he would never say that. But after hearing it on tape, he said his reaction was, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I said it. Bradshaw, who is a TV veteran, said he has been in the broadcast business too long, plus he is way too smart to make that kind of slip. He also said when it comes to anything with racist overtones that he doesn't have to be careful because he doesn't like that. But he only comments about things that are happening on the field. When Bradshaw's recent mental lapse, other sports programs should learn something from this unfortunate incident. Plus, a new generation of young people can learn about what is offensive to black people and what is racially insensitive. Why? Because a lot of sports programs have lost some of their professionalism of late. As a result, many of them find themselves in dangerous territories, just like Bradshaw, as they poke fun at one another on set, debate hot topics, and belittle athletes on camera. I guess this is part of the radio shock jock internet and instant Twitter influences on sports journalism today. And while I enjoy seeing ex-professional athletes and current athletes being brutally honest without being stiff and robotic on the set alongside sports reporters, sometimes they go overboard and reduce the conversation to immature locker room chatter rather than hardcore journalism. Matter of fact, that they are getting a little too comfortable on television and actually forgetting that they are on television just like Bradshaw did. I know a few weeks ago I had it on the pre-show, and my mom was like, you know, she usually watched the pre-show too, and you know, the in between the intermission shows and so on. And she was like, "What are you watching?" Because it just sounded like a bunch of guys just having fun, you know. And we like that, but we also want that professionalism too, right? And that's one thing about it. Cowboys was like my favorite team back in the day, but I always loved I had favorite athletes with the Steelers, and Terry Bradshaw has been a favorite of mine, like O.J. Simpson. Since my childhood, but oh my God. I did not know about this until my inbox was filled in last evening. Honestly, a man. And they go on to say, as a result, sometimes analysts like Charles Barkley on the NBA on TNT sometimes uses inappropriate language like the other F word on TV. And in the case of ESPN's Stephen A. Smith, even the N word, which he denied that he ever said. Yeah, he was in the news about that recently. But despite all the controversy surrounding a bucket of chicken, however, Fox spokesman Lou DiMiglio says the network won't be punishing Bradshaw for his remarks and have no plans on making any changes in the way the show is produced. Therefore, I guess we all have to accept Bradshaw's apology and go eat a bucket of fried chicken after the game. I see they're even making a joke of it. The more you talk, the stupider sounds. I guess it's like their little term. And then they have another article on this site, Cam Newton and RG3 pitted against each other. I love listening to The Herd. Do you all listen to The Herd on ESPN radio? And he especially on Fridays, he always has something interesting to say, especially about our favorite quarterbacks, the rookies, and also especially the second year, the sophomores, like Cam Newton. But there's also another article from another publication, but I won't go on into that. Well, that's from the Christian Post. And that, so you all might want to hear it from the Christian, from a Christian publication by Christine Thomasel. And they say that Terry Bradshaw, former NFL quarterback, turned Hall of Famer, is apologizing for a tongue-in-cheek comment that was made about Miami Dolphins RB Reggie Bush running for chicken on the football field during a game. Bradshaw, 64, made a comment about Bush after watching highlights of his game against the Indianapolis Colts. While in the studio with NFL studio analyst Jimmy Johnson, Bradshaw noticed a clip of Bush running for a touchdown and likened it to the 27-year-old running back chasing a bucket of chicken. Look at this, Jimmy. Like he was chasing that bucket of chicken the wind was blowing the other day, Bradshaw said. However, the 64-year-old Hall of Famer regrets his comment and apologized for the comment that could have taken a racist connotation for some. I am so sorry if I hurt anybody. I am shocked I'm in this position. I can't defend myself, Bradshaw told USA Today recently. I've never been in a situation like this, and I don't know how to react except to apologize for something I didn't know I said. The commentator went on to speak about being upset with himself for making the comment. He says, I've been upset today. Bradshaw says, it's not me. I'm shocked. Bradshaw insists that his comment was meant to poke fun at Johnson's love of chicken, but instead of saying you, the commentator said he. I always include the other on-air guys in the highlights because it's fun. It could have been with a highlight about anybody, Bradshaw told USA Today. You never know what's going to come to mind when you do these things so quickly. However, Fox Network seemed to defend Bradshaw's explanation, but a seemingly flippant comment. His comment was directed at a studio mate and no one else. Fox spokesman Lou D'Amelio said in USA Today report. So that right there was more of a brief, more explained, I guess, article of what happened. So many of you might have heard it, but some of you might have been like me. What? Who? What? How did I miss that? You know, so I just said, well, let me share this with you all quickly and so on. So we do still have Reg Roughneck, and I'll quickly profile one of our favorite coaches also. My intention was to go ahead and profile a couple coaches at the beginning of the show, which this morning started at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time. I think yesterday we started at 6.
19 seconds.
But thank you so much for tuning in. It's been fun. It's not over yet. Live streaming is over, but we're going to keep it going. It's Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style.
Say what?
Gangnam Style.
What up, though? It's your host with the most, Big Snoopy Deagle Double G. And you inside this techno dance mixtape brought to you by, that's right, y'all, BLE. Radio station BLE on your dial. You dig? We're going to kick it off with a little something like this.
Thank you.
My own mother won't respect me as a man. We don't have a conversation without getting out of hand. Now I'm about to have a daughter, so our problems just expand. We used to be a unit, start to feel like we disband. Single mother home, she was mostly alone. So the day I moved out, guess she felt she wanna own. And for that simple fact, we've been fighting all the time. I've been gone 6 years, I just want some peace of mind. You think that she'd be happy with me? I'm successful, but every time I see her, it's always something stressful. Said I don't give a fuck, calling me neglectful. I try to speak my mind and she calls me disrespectful. Playing little games, trying to push every button. Never once said she's proud, I made something out of nothing. So what do I say to my child about a granny? And what do I say to my child about our family?
You can talk to your blue in the face about family and what it all means, but you gotta show your meaning. Show your meaning. It's really easy to say the words, but you show the lines of birth, they gotta show you meaning. Show you meaning.
My uncle's 54, still living with my mother. He tries to give advice and she listens to her brother. I never listened to him, never really had a reason. Never thought my uncle was somebody to believe in. In and out of jail, got a child he ain't raised. Would never give credit for this path that I paved. Knowing him the way I do, I'd never have trust. Especially when he looks at young girls with such lust. And I mean, sure, she's just a baby in the womb. But what happens if I go to leave her in the room? And maybe I'd be wrong to assume. But what if I'm right? Cause in my mind, something just ain't right. So what do I say to my child if she ends up molested? The onus is on me, cause I should've second guessed it. Just wish everybody really practiced with their creatures. So what do I say to my child? I'm left speechless.
You can talk to your blue in the face about family and what it all means, but you gotta show your meaning. Show your meaning. It's real easy to say the words, but your actions show the lines of birth. You gotta show your meaning. Show your meaning.
They say that family goes through trials and tribulations. What if we fall apart? Should we fight for visitation? So what do I say to my child on this basis? And try to explain why our family didn't make it. Perhaps something worse, ain't think of it at first. So how did you explain that her mama died at birth? But that's too far-fetched, so we try to make it work. Pretty sure we'll be okay, but it changes with some quirks. I don't want to raise our child in court. We pissed off at each other, just arguing over child support. And in my head, I have the wildest thoughts. Thinking for every broken family, it's just another child is lost. So now I'm hoping for matrimony and never alimony. I say a prayer and hope that angels are smiling on me. So many people let the small break the big. And my mind is me and you. It's on us to raise these kids. So I try not to be the man that my father was. I plan to give you both my heart and a father's love.
You can talk to your blue in the face about family and what it all means, but you gotta show your meaning. Show your meaning. It's real easy to say the words, but your actions show the lines of birth. You gotta show your meaning. Show your meaning.
God Immortal. He will be this weekend's guest on Weekend Edition of the Shark Entertainment Reports on Saturday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So what's up, Baltimore, Maryland? Yes, indeed. This will be our third convo, and he is amazing. And most definitely chat and call in and talk with us and ask questions also. So Saturday night is always a fun party. Fun, fun, fun. You can tweet him at True God Immortal. And also check out his blog site at truegodimmortal.blogspot.com. And his YouTube channel is awesome, True God Tube TV. And every Wednesday, he and his friends host the show Wrestling Heads, where they talk about any and everything inside and out the wrestling ring. I'm talking about they talk about the wrestlers, they talk about promoters, managers, you name it, they talk about it. And it's just amazing. And True God will be premiering his own show also in the very near future. But we're going to be talking about much more than music. Of course, he'll be letting us know what's going on with his newborn baby girl and his queen. Because, you know, when he released DOA, his music and his baby girl was born on the same day back in July. Matter of fact, the song that was just played, Z, was named, as a matter of fact, it was exclusively played right here on Cut the Shock Entertainment Reports, because that was a song that was inspired by his baby girl who had yet to have been born. So he just called her Z, but her name is Zuri. So we're going to have a blast of a good time during the weekend edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. The coach right now that we're profiling is Jim Swartz. Wow, he's only a couple years older than I, a year older than Ridge Roughneck, born on June 2nd. That's my uncle's birthday and my anniversary day. Oh, when I married my second husband, can't wait to be a divorcee. His birthday is June 2nd, 1966. Of course, American football head coach for the Detroit Lions of the NFL. Speaking of Maryland, he's from Hellthorpe, Maryland, college, Georgetown. His head coaching record, regular season 22-34-0, postseason 0-1, career record 22-35-0. Teams that he has worked with as a coach or as an administrator: 1989, Maryland as a graduate assistant with linebackers. 90, Minnesota, a graduate assistant. 91, NC Central, secondary. 1992, Colgate, he worked with the linebackers. 93, 95, Cleveland Browns, he was a personnel scout. I know he had a blast being a personnel scout. 96, 98, Baltimore Ravens, defensive assistant. 99, 2000, Tennessee Titans, defensive assistant. 2001 to 08, Tennessee Titans, defensive coordinator. And from 09 to present, he's been the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Again, he was born just outside of Baltimore, Maryland, and Swartz attended Mount St. Joseph High School, an all-male Catholic school where he played football. Swartz was a four-year letterman at linebacker for the Horse of Georgetown University, where he earned his degree in economics. I'll speak of economics. The president will be speaking about the economy later today. He received distinguished economics graduate honors at Georgetown and earned numerous honors in 1988, including Division III. What is that? Is it called CIDA? What is it, Reggie? Is it called COSIDA/GTE Academic All-America? All-America team and team captain. His coaching career, Swartz got his start in the U.S. in the NFL. I'm thinking about the president, USA, and I'm in the NFL. Swartz got his start in the NFL doing research for Bill Belichick on the Cleveland Browns staff in the mid-90s. That's when I was a little league football coach. Swartz served as the Tennessee Titans defensive coordinator from 2001 until 2008 and was runner-up to Mike Nolan for the San Francisco 49ers head coaching position in 2005. In January 2008, he interviewed for head coaching positions with Washington Redskins, Miami Dolphins, and Atlanta Falcons. Swartz interviewed twice for the head coaching job with the Lions. Adam Schefter reported on January 15, 2009, that the Lions had decided to give the job to Swartz. Detroit Lions, 2009 season. The 2009 season was Swartz's first as Detroit's head coach, and he posted a 2-14 record with victories coming against the Washington Redskins and Cleveland Browns. I remember that season, but did they not turn around? Did they not? Detroit Lions are, you know, a pretty good team. I'm not sure their record. I can share the record, but I'm not sure the record, like, off the top of my head right now. But that is amazing. The first season he was with them, because we thought they weren't going to win any games. I won't say that, but that wasn't a so hot season. 2010, Swartz saw his Lions begin the season with a 2-10 record, but they finished with four consecutive wins against the Green Bay Packers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Miami Dolphins, and I remember that season, Miami Dolphins and Tampa Bay, they were bad that season, so they beat those teams, plus the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, man, I mean, they beat some pretty tough teams that season. 2011, the Lions returned to the postseason for the first time since 1999, clinching a playoff berth following 38-10 victory over the San Diego Chargers. Detroit would go to be eliminated in the first round by the New Orleans Saints, but that was a that was an amazing turnaround. We all know that, you know. Personal life, he and his wife Kathy have twins, Christian and Allison, along with a younger daughter, Maria. And, of course, his coaching tree, like your family tree, NFL head coaches whom he has worked with, served Bill Belichick with the Cleveland Browns from 93 to 95, Ted Marchibroda, Baltimore Ravens, 96-98, Jeff Fisher, Tennessee Titans, 1999-08. Oh, man, he really worked with him a long time, did he not? Preceded by Greg Williams, a Tennessee Titans defensive coordinator, 2001-2008, and then succeeded by Chuck Sistel. So that's about Jim Schwartz. And only 46 years of age, and an amazing head coach of the Detroit Lions. We have wanted to profile another coach, but we have Rich Rusnick online, and I'm sure he has a lot to say and probably want to talk about his birthday and his grandbaby and all that good stuff. So I'm going to be quiet and pretty much let Rich tell us what's up and what's going on, what's new. What's up, Rich? Happy Veterans Day weekend.
Hey, what's up, Beth?
What's up, what's up? What's up in Big D?
Well, Big D's Big D. It's still, you know, it's still standing here, and we're just dwelling up in it, you know. But I was so busy laughing so hard at some of the comments she was making, and I had caught that tail end.
I hope I didn't make a Terry Bradshaw comment.
You know what I mean? When I first heard and saw about what he was talking about, you know, I hope don't nobody go off on the deep end about what he's saying because quite frankly, if you took a bucket of chicken and put it in that studio between all those guys, it wouldn't last. Because and I'm so sick and tired of every time someone says fried chicken, it has something to do with black people.
Exactly.
We're not the only ones that eat fried chicken.
Exactly.
I mean, we're not the only ones that eat watermelon. I mean, I had made a post earlier on our group page for Facebook about it, and I had said that, okay, just because you make a comment about sushi or rice or seafood, you automatically assuming that about Asians. But,
exactly.
You know,
I love making sushi.
Right. Everybody does. I remember the time when Terry Bradshaw made a joke about it in a commercial, and he was talking, you know, eating some sushi. He said, "Well, we come from that state." He was telling me, he was telling the chef, hey, you need to cook this, you know. So,
And he's always making fun about jokes because he recently lost a lot of weight. And so he's all food.
Right.
Is always something he talks and joke about.
Right.
And
everybody knows Bradshaw the jokester. and you know, and then the other thing about it, now, if he'd have made a comment and said, Reggie Bush is running like he's chasing a big booty white woman, then yeah, I could see somebody getting bent out of shape. Okay? You know,
you're joking on my play, Brother Reggie, like you joke on Tiger Woods. Not
right. Reggie. But you know, I said, but I was sitting up there thinking back when you saw my Tiger Woods. I'm thinking back the time when everybody was calling his grill, roasting him about his situation with his wife. And then you remember how Steve Williams kind of got a little loose in the lips. And then everything he wanted to say about Tiger Woods had some connotation about him being black. And I'm like, okay, bringing up the fact that Tiger Woods is black is about as stupid as talking about Barack Obama being black. Yeah, I know. We see that. You got it? We get that. So it's like at some certain point, you would like to think that racial connotations can kind of go by the wayside. You know, I mean, but sports and politics, racism and sports, those are just two things that never mix when you talk about them. And, you know, I mean, you did bring up a good point. You're talking about, like, with Don Imus. Trying to compare Bradshaw to Don Imus is ridiculous, but then comparing Don Imus about anybody is kind of ridiculous because, I mean, with Don Imus, the comments Imus made was he called himself trying to sound black and try to use some black humor, and it backfired on him.
Yeah.
And because I know, like, Sheryl Underwood had to use those same words and had said the same thing in the same format, everybody would have been doubled up in laughter, rolling up and down. Everybody know how zany Sheryl Underwood gets.
Yeah.
And then Bernie Mac, God rest his soul, he has killed anybody's ambition to eat milk and cookies. Because now, you know, anybody talk about getting some milk and cookies, they automatically think about Bernie Mac, and we want to talk about, you know, using homophobic slurs. And, you know, I crack up on that one when people want to say when you're making comments about gays that you're being racist. Because I'm just one of those real, I just don't believe in, I don't believe in gays as being an ethnic group.
Mm-hmm.
But,
oh,
you know,
okay.
And
yeah.
Yeah, but they were just like, you know, they do these things, but this is just part of the society we live in. We live in a society now where everyone has an axe to grind about anything. Everybody's sensitive about everything. And, you know, we're so intrusive now, we always want to try to go out of our way to find out the bad in anything. And, you know, like, did you see earlier this week when people was ranting and raving about Joe Simpson, whether or not he was gay? And
yeah,
I was like,
I'm hearing about that he's, yeah, I've been hearing that.
It took me about 2 days to find out who the hell Joe Simpson was at first, because I was why would his sexuality be that big of an issue for anybody to comment on?
And when, you know, when they said the couple just decided, Jessica Simpson's father and mother are divorcing, and there's rumors that they're divorcing because her father, Joe Simpson, has a younger boyfriend. But when I first heard the report, I just heard that they both were agreed to divorce. But back to what you were saying, some listeners might not know they're divorcing, so I was just wanting to break it down.
All right, but yeah, because me personally, I was like, okay, who gives a damn? I don't care if they get married, stay together. I don't care if him, the man, and his wife do a threesome. I don't care. But the fact that it made news was like, duh, who cares? And but that's just how intrusive society has become. We will find anything to just harp on. And, you know, but once again, now if you see Joe Simpson at home eating some milk and cookies, then we got a whole nother scenario to play on. You know, they'll run that material into the ground. But you know, I mean, Mexican food. I mean, you know, everybody eats Mexican food now. So do we have to always? I guess a Mexican person eats black chicken. Mexican person eats fried chicken. Would that cause a stir now? But somebody's gonna find something to make an issue out of. I was thinking about the election and how the students at Ole Miss had that little rally and everything.
Sad.
Okay.
You know what? I had seen that story Wednesday night, but I did not realize it was in Mississippi. And then I saw it again where one of my Facebook friends here had posted it on their page. But I knew about the story, but I thought it was like I was just assuming it was somewhere else. I thought maybe
right.
It was just anywhere in the country, Midwest, East, West. I didn't know. I didn't know it was in Mississippi. So I was shocked to see that Ole Miss students were behaving like that. You know, my
okay.
fellow Republican of friends, well, I don't even say friends if they're acting like that. But that wasn't a good look, guys and girls and ladies. That was not a good look. I know many are listening.
No, it wasn't a good look. But
a lot of Ole Miss people are listening. That was not a good look. You all just crowned, and they just crowned the first homecoming queen who happens to be African American. Not only African American, but full figure too. And that's not a good look.
Right. Right.
You know, but back to what you were saying,
I think back to what Stephen A. Smith said. You know, I heard his comment about it yesterday. Now, if you said that would have been Harvard or Yale or Princeton or somewhere like that, he was making the point that, you know, if it was depending on what part of the country that would have happened at, it would have been shocking and everything. But then when you think back and say University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, oh, okay, no big surprise.
Exactly. But when I seen that, it did not cross my mind that it was in the state of Mississippi. And then when I saw that on Facebook, and then they were talking about it a lot locally again, and Mom and I was talking. I said, Mom, I did not realize that was Ole Miss. My mom was like, you didn't. Because Mama, 80-year-old Mama, even was watching it, and she saw up front that it was Ole Miss. But I did not realize that was Ole Miss.
When you think about it, it's like Ole Miss. Okay, Nat pissed off about Barack Obama. Okay, I can see that. that's kind of how you roll with it. But
exactly.
I mean, it's embarrassing. Yes, it's ridiculous. Yes, but let's be honest and blunt. Would it have gotten the same amount of attention if Mitt Romney got elected? Jackson State, Mississippi Valley, Alcorn.
Yeah.
You think they would have been acting the same way? I think there's a good chance it would have.
I think you're right, too.
Sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves, because racism is a part of our culture. It's a bad part of our culture, but it's a part of our culture nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And
good point.
There's just certain things that we have to get over. But I'm like this. We had to get over when George W. Bush got selected. I ain't say elected. I said selected. We had to deal with 8 years of him and all the stuff that he brought to this country and got us in the position we're in now economically. All right. And now, for those who wasn't voting for George W. Bush back then and was supporting Romney now y'all get a taste of what we had to go through. Now we get to laugh about things. So
you know,
I call
you
that
know,
poetic justice.
Oh, okay. You know I was on Team Romney. But, you know, I love me the Obamas, too. So it's like win-win. But, you know, don't say that.
Look, I'm like this. Everybody has, I mean, like this. I don't knock anybody's preferences. I'll knock anybody's choices. Everybody's not going to agree with me. I get that. Everybody's not going to,
I said, you're speaking some truth. You're saying some things I'm sure a lot of people are
right.
thinking. Uh-huh.
All right. Well, let me tell you what happened on my birthday.
I was commenting. I'm sure you weren't listening, but in case I shouted you out and talked about you a lot on your birthday. And what?
I decided to make a comment on, we was talking about the election, and Damon Wilson was, he had made an interesting comment on Facebook.
Who?
And Damon Wilson.
Okay.
He played Lamont on Sanford and Son.
Yeah, I love Damon. Oh, Lord. What did he say?
Okay. I made a joke about he was making a comment about the election and everything, and
you know
he made
a
very
he's
great
preacher.
Point.
You know he's
yeah,
a preacher.
Yeah, I know he's a minister now. But I'm getting something that's gonna really crack you up. Okay.
Oh God.
I said to quote a famous sitcom line, I said for a dummy, you make a lot of sense. And how many times did Fred, that Red Fox made that, you know, in reference to Lamont, because one time Lamont had brought a very, had brought a very good point for Fred to follow, and Fred said, "For a dummy, you make a lot of sense." Okay, I made that comment, and he immediately lit up on me and just said, "I'm sorry, but my life is not a sitcom." So
you
he took exception
to
the.
You said it to him, or you
exception to me, quote. I was saying it to him on his post.
Okay, okay.
And I mean, yeah, he knew what I meant and what I was talking about, but
yeah.
He let it be known that he did not. He does not relate to his character anymore. So, I guess, and you know.
But that character is still funding his, I'm not his personal business, but being a big supporter and fan of Sanford and Son, those, I'm sure he's still getting residuals from Sanford and Son. I hope you're not experiencing what the Happy Days cast have been going through, but. I mean, people are going to prefer a fun time of their life.
Well, I Joe Louis, he's directed Peoples in Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe, we're pretty good friends. Joe told me about the time he came and spoke at Cage Chapel, and he got very upset when people kept calling him Lamont.
Oh.
So. He does not like being referred to by Lamont or anything. That part of his life he wants dead. And you know, so I mean, when I think about it, I can understand, I can relate, and I can respect his position, because I'm sure being called dummy all the time probably did well. But then I'm like this. But being called dummy is what got him the same notoriety. Everybody knows him as such.
Wow.
I
loved him on Sanford and Son. I loved him on what? Baby, I'm Home. Baby, I'm Back.
Baby, I'm Back. Yeah.
He's a terrific actor. And yeah, I understand when some actors and actresses don't want to be referred to their like past characters, but some of them embrace, like Tymock, call him the Last Dragon to you. Turn blue.
Yeah, he's calling him Bruce Leroy. He don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, he's the last drag to the end of time. So some people are just, and he's done a lot of work since then. But if he's the last dragon, then okay.
Right. I can about imagine that, you know, people walking up to you want to say something about that. I guess it would get kind of old after a while.
But it sounds like you said it in like a fun way and just making a reference to one of your probably favorite, sound like one of your favorite episodes. So unless you really like going crazy with it,
I just did it for one line. It wasn't like I was doing it like three, four, like, you know, some people go back and forth with three, four times. I only did it at one time, but he did not like it at all, and he let it be known. So I just, you know, I just respectfully apologize and said I meant no disrespect or no harm by it, but I guess he's just somebody who does not like to relate to his character, because, you know, if you've seen Nathaniel Taylor, right now to this day, first thing gonna cry your mouth gonna be Rollo. You know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And like, if you ask him what did you play on, you know, if someone's looking and say, well, I think I see your TV. Don't I know you? Yeah, Rollo. Yeah. Okay. But you know, like I said, some people just always going to be tied to who they were. You know, Gregory Sierra. He's always gonna be Julio on
Kim Fields, she said she's always referred to as Tootie.
Right, she's always Tootie.
And a lot of her other castmates, I had seen one of her castmates from the show on the Jeff Probst show last week, and whatever her character
right,
name
Lisa
was.
Lisa Welchel, she was Blair.
Yeah, because even my mom was like, is that Blair? You know, so some people don't even know your real name.
That's another thing. Some people don't even know these guys for their real name, and you know, and that offends them, because I mean, I don't know how well you watch any of the soap operas, but like Joshua Morrow, he plays Nick Newman on The Young and the Restless. He said a woman actually walked up to him at an airport and slapped him in the face because of something that Nick did on The Young and the Restless. And it just totally stunned him. It caught him totally off guard, but he was like, ma'am, my name's Joshua. I'm not Nick, and please don't do that again. And, you know, but he talked about how some people really take the character and make it that person. And, like, you remember on Lowdown Dirty
really
Shame when... Huh?
You really know for a good actor or actress and when people really take it that far. You know,
they do.
So,
like, you remember on Lowdown Dirty Shame when Don Diamont, who's he's now playing Bill Spencer on Bold and Beautiful, and he used to play Barrett Carlton on Young and the Rest of a Long Time. He was doing a soap opera appearance, and then Jada Pinkett Smith punched him in the nose talking about his character screwing around on the chick and talking about, you gotta watch your back. And
yeah.
And she made reference of, you know, about how someone can, you know, take a person's TV character, and when they see this person in person, they're gonna attack the guy as if he's the person on TV. And some people don't know how to draw the line on that.
I'm telling you, The Color Purple, that Danny Glover, no, he played Mr. Good. If anybody really made a realistic, that Danny Glover. Woo!
Yeah, me and Joe talked about that as well. He said that Lethal Weapon really saved his life, much less his career, because...
And I know he's a real nice man in real life, but sometimes I can't help but, like, oh, man, he brought Mr. to life.
Well, hey, well, I'm like this. When I see Lawrence Fishburne play, I think about Ike Turner. Ooh, Lord, Lord, Lord! How that man bounced back from that, I will never know.
Exactly. Oh, he did a great job too. Angela Bassett did a great job.
Black woman was giving him the death stare that whole year. I mean, he went from Furious on Boys in the Hood to Ike Turner. That same year, I see. But he played Ike Turner so good. It was like, huh?
Oh, yeah, he played Ike Turner real good. And Angela played Tina good. It was so realistic. You could just see both sides. And Denzel Washington, Training Day. That character, I was like, hey. Oh, my God.
He put a lot of charisma into that character. You know, playing Alonzo, he put a lot of flair into that.
Exactly. He make you think of Alonzo, and Alonzo is in every city. I know this, but he really make you think Alonzo is the boogeyman, and a real Alonzo is out there. That man, that character really came to life. I can't wait to see the new movie, Flight, because I'm hearing auditions for that movie. So, Alonzo, that was the name of the character. All I think of is when he said, "I'm gorilla." What was the gorilla line?
I'm talking about King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Yeah. Oh Lord. Man.
Yeah, so
that character was surrealistic.
But back to our point about, you know, what to say on TV and what not to say. I mean, Bradshaw is about as black as any of us. You know, when you break it down on the grand scale.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's what I love about him. He's like redneck soul brother, like my attorney J. Fro is in Dallas. He's like he's like everything in one, Bradshaw. That's why I'm like that was said. I don't think it was meant to have a racial undertone. You know, I believe Jimmy Johnson, he must have been talking about Jimmy Johnson. But you're right.
Right.
So he acts black. Sometimes. I mean, I don't like to say act black. I don't like when people say you act black or act white. You know,
right.
But he has a lot of soul to him. Yeah, you know, but back to what you were saying, you just said you said it better. He's more black than some of us.
Right. He won, right. He, you know, if you wanted to just relate that, I mean, and then Jimmy Johnson, him, Jerry Jones, I mean, and then Barry Switzer. I mean, because you remember the time when Barry Switzer was coaching the Cowboys. Some black guy made a serious wild accusation, said that Barry Switzer attacked him in an elevator and was choking him and called him the N-word and everything. And the very next day when that story came out, I mean, a whole bunch of people who knew Barry Switzer from the time he was in college to now immediately came to his defense, you know, like Earl Campbell, Marcus Dupree, and, you know, and then J.C. Watts. I mean, it was a lot of guys that, you know, and they said, hey, Switzer's one of us, you know.
Yeah.
Just because he's white don't mean nothing. He one of us.
Yeah, and in the past month, Mom and I was watching Terry on The View. He was on The View talking about his weight loss, telling all his business. He tell you all his business.
Right.
Personal to his children, to his career, his singing career, from being a superstar. He talk about everything. Nothing is off limits when you watch interviews of him. And because my mom and I, they were asking about his dating life, and my mom and I both looked at each other. We both were like, Terry date black women too, I bet. You know? Because
he's so down to her. And, you know, and I remember one time Barry Switzer made a comment about Shante Carl. He was the first round pick of the Cowboys back in the late 90s. And he made a comment about, I'm going to fatten you up and take you to church's chicken. And you know, it was funny, and everybody, you know, laughed about it, but, you know, much to my surprise, that didn't get a lot of flack.
But he dodged
a bullet, but if that had been Bill Cowher, if that had been Bill Cowher or somebody, it probably would have, it wouldn't have went over so well. But the thing is,
he's something. he's something. He's been talking about the quarterback the past few weeks, like Cam Newton and so on. It was something you were. I had made reference to Tiger Woods. Okay, that was. What was that guy's name that made the reference about Tiger and greens and chicken?
Fuzzy Zeller.
But that was a different. There was a different story. He really. But then a lot of even white people back then was like, well, white people like chicken too.
And they eat collard greens too.
Yeah.
And white folks eat chitlins too.
Exactly.
So I mean, they eat biscuits, you know, eggs, all that. I mean, but I don't know what idiot put the patent on the fact that anytime you're talking about certain foods that you refer to black people, because you know,
so some people
eat these
crazy
foods because white people ate these foods. They brought us over here, so we had to eat what they was eating.
Exactly. So some people looking crazy when they really found out that it was about Jimmy Johnson, because Jimmy Johnson said, "Well, the thing is, I'm in trouble because my wife has found out I eat 4 pieces of chicken every Sunday." You know?
Right.
And so,
right, because when Snoop Doggy Dogg had his reality show, you know, his wife used to bird dog him about him eating fried chicken all the time, because Snoop Doggy Dogg loves to eat fried chicken. But fried chicken's bad, it was bad for his system and everything, but I'm sorry. But me, if I had that type of money, I'm going to be eating some fried chicken just about every day, too. You know, so I don't think that I'm black just because of that.
And they can be a bunch of guys having fun. You know, yeah, they're professional journalists, but they have sports backgrounds, and that's what we like about those shows. But I want to have Reggie said anything. I have to check and find out.
I don't think Reggie said two words about it. Reggie didn't think none of it.
If it was about Reggie, bottom line, it wasn't about Reggie. So I've been able watching tape of Reggie.
Right. Because Junior Seau, one of his teammates got in trouble because they was talking about when we see Junior Seau again, we're going to have some fried chicken and some watermelon. And people thought that that was being a racial joke, but those are Junior Seau's favorite foods, you know. And, I mean, you know, once Junior finally confirmed it wasn't nothing to it, that's what I eat. What's the big deal?
It's about favorite food.
Right. I mean, those are some people's favorite food. My brother loves the heck out of some watermelon. When you see him, you can look at him and tell he's a black man. We get that.
I didn't know that I had been eating salty foods. My doctor, when I had a screening a little over a month ago, she and the nurses told me at a Power Pink event, they already be watching my high blood pressure, and then they're telling me I need to lay off the salt. I'm like, I don't eat salt. Then they're like, well, do you eat a lot of Mexican food? Heck yeah, I eat a lot of Mexican food. Hidden salt in the Mexican
sodium.
Food.
Sodium.
So, you know, I could see my doctor out in public, and she might say, well, yeah, lay off that Mexican food. Somebody might think, what'd she say that for? Because I love Mexican food.
Right.
You know, so you have a good point. If people know something about you, then, I eat a lot of Mexican food. So I had to cut back on it, pretty much cut off. I love Mexican food. I love eating it at the restaurants. I love cooking it myself, but I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know it was sodium in Mexican and Chinese food, especially Chinese food. I knew it was some sodium, but I didn't know those foods had salt in them. Because I don't get the salt.
Sodium's in a lot of foods. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times when you cook the foods, Sometimes they store the food in sodium-based products, especially like canned goods. They don't have sodium in it.
They have preserved foods, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I've cut back. I pretty much don't use salt anymore. I just use seasoning and stuff like that. But, yeah, you make a good point where people, they were talking about him in the chicken. So did you hear that? You heard about it early in the week, huh?
I heard about it later on that night, and Sports Center gonna say something about everything.
I was all over the story about Coach Payton being a free agent that the Cowboys wanted him.
I laughed about that because everybody was thinking that Jerry Jones was going to be ready to fire Jason Garrett and get Sean Payton back up in here. And I was like, I don't think it's going to work.
We were just talking about it last Friday, and then Sunday is breaking news. And they were like, Jason heard about it early part of the day. I'm like, Lord, have mercy.
I mean, Sean Payton will have Roger Goodell to thank for him getting the new contract, because Sean Payton has definitely been missed down there on the sidelines in New Orleans. I mean, he was missed terribly. I never would have thought how important a coach is to a team till then, but yeah, I get it now, even though I feel that Drew Brees was really the coach definitely out there on the field, but
Drew Brees is a Michael Jordan of football, huh?
Exactly.
Like Michael Jordan of Chicago Bull.
Right, because, I mean, he runs that thing like an orchestra, and they out there, they really respond to his presence and his impact out there. But,
yeah.
You know, and then now this little situation with the Lakers, you know, I feel that was definitely, I mean, this is my personal opinion. But I just think that the Lakers are really just dogging it out. They're trying to get Mike Brown fired.
I heard that. Is that true?
I'm going to consider what I see. Makes me not think of anything else because, I mean, Mike Brown was never a he wasn't the player's selection, and he definitely wasn't Kobe's choice. And, I mean, Kobe's been running that team since he's been there. And this was one time they did something that he didn't want. And I think that's definitely just – I just think this is carryover from that. And I think that Mike Brown probably not going to be holding his job much longer. I mean, it would be nice if in the today's workforce, if you didn't like somebody at work who was the boss or the supervisor, all you had to do was just slack off a little bit and get them fired, you know. But in sports, you can do that.
Wow.
Sports is a different beast when it comes to that. Sports, you can get away with that.
Wow. Well, you have any Mavericks news? I've been getting some Rangers news and Cowboys news and Mavs news. Was that any Mavericks news for us?
The only thing people have been flapping about all week is they saw Dirk Nowitzki doing that karaoke thing and how off-key and how awful he sounds. People have been talking about that, but I will say this. I saw O.J. Mayo light it up the other night, and I think he's definitely been one of the good finds that that Mr. Cuban has brought to the team. And I mean, I'm impressed with how the Mavericks, they're going out there. You see them being gritty. You see determination. You see them actually trying to go out there playing to win. And I think that's I like what they've done, and I mean, I can't tell you how I just burst in laughter razzing some of my old friends in Los Angeles about how we beat the Lakers first night out last Monday. You know, I had a good laugh on that.
I was like, woo-hoo! Even though I love some of the players on the Lakers team, I was like, woo-hoo! The Mavericks did that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I had you saw the post that I had made that, you know, the Mavericks looking like an expansion team, but I'm still gonna back and support the Mavs and try to get to know the players as the year goes on. They must have gotten my tweet and they went out there and responded in kind. So I'll take some credit for the win.
Red, you're like me, Red Roughneck. I always feel like especially if my favorite teams do well after I put something out there, I always feel like I had something to do with it.
All right, I'm gonna take some of the credit.
Exactly.
I think I'm entitled to do that.
I always feel like that with the Cowboys, the Mavericks, the Saints. I always feel like, and even sometimes with the Heat, I always feel like, oh, I had something to do with that.
I don't take credit for anything with the Cowboys now. I'm like Marvin Gaye. Makes me want to holler, throw up both my hands. That's just what they have done.
Whatever they do, let them do it, huh? They can have all the credit.
After President Obama won, I don't care about anything now. I don't care who wins this year. I don't care what happens from here. Hey, so that's just how that's going to go.
The president's talking later on today about economics. So I'm looking forward to he said he's going to meet with Mitt Romney. So I hope that it's real productive because they definitely do need to meet because you all can't admit it. Mitt Romney has some good ideas when it comes to the economy and creating jobs. So I hope that they can together. It would be good if he could appoint Mitt Romney to something dealing with that department of dealing with jobs and the economy, you know? Dealing with commerce or something in that arena.
Yeah,
but he would. He was an asset. said to like the Commerce Department, but he's speaking on the economy today, so it should be a good.
I don't think Mitt Romney's gonna agree with that one. He's like, he don't need no job. He don't need Obama getting him no job. No, that's not gonna work.
Maybe in a consultant capacity then, you know. But yeah.
No.
What? But you're so, y'all so crazy. We gotta work together.
Yeah, we all just go along.
Exactly. Also, it's almost time for us to go. I'm looking at the Colts. Have you been seeing the story with the Indianapolis Colts all shaved their heads in respect?
Yes,
to their,
I saw that.
And I'm reading the article now. Andrew Luck, I think this is a picture of Coach linebacker Cavell Connor. I'm looking at a picture of him getting his head shaved. Kind of look like, kind of remind me of you. And his Andrew Luck is going to the squad. So Andrew Luck has his hair cut. They say nearly 36 players on the Indianapolis Colts have shaved their heads in a show of support for their head coach Chuck Pagano, who is undergoing treatment for a form of leukemia. I thought I heard earlier this week that he announced he's in remission. So I hope that he's blessed to, you know, to get better. Luck became a new member of the No Hair Club Wednesday morning. What were you about to say?
No, I was going to say that they scheduled two more treatments for him to make sure that they've knocked it all out. And that they're hoping that he's going to be back to coach the last few games of the season.
Lord, y'all ready to put the man back to work? Okay.
Well, one thing about it, I mean, regardless whether he's doing or don't, he's still getting paid.
Lord, I guess if you have a flu or cold, baby, you better work. Now the man, oh Lord, y'all making the man work. Okay, well, that's good.
Hey, look, I'm looking like. Look, the Colts. I'm sure Robert Irsay's thinking like, hey,
he had a cold. The man is in remission from cancer.
I mean, look, Larry, remember how last year with Peyton Manning sitting on the sideline making $25 million walking up and down the sideline drinking Gatorade and whatever else, and he wearing that neck collar. I mean, I know they felt pretty duped on that one, but I know Peyton going like, hey, I earned that money.